طيب نكمل من حيث كنا وصلنا أمس. Let us continue from where we stopped yesterday. الحمد لله رب العالمين، له النعمة وله الفضل وله الثناء الحسن، وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد الطاهر الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه الطيبين. الله يرزقنا جميعا حسن النية. كنا أمس نتكلم عن نبوة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. We were yesterday talking about the prophethood of Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم، وذكرنا الفرق بين النبي الرسول والنبي غير الرسول. We mentioned the difference between a prophet who is a messenger and a prophet who is not a messenger. وذكرنا بعض معجزات رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. We mentioned a little bit. We talked a little bit about the miracles of the prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. بقي شيء ينبغي التنبيه إليه. There is still a matter related to this issue that we should draw attention to it. وهو الكلام في عصمة الأنبياء عليهم الصلاة والسلام. Which is to talk about the impeccability of the prophets عليهم الصلاة والسلام. وذلك أن المسلمين اتفقوا أجمعوا يعني على أن الأنبياء معصومون من الكفر. The Muslims unanimously agreed that the prophets do not commit blasphemy. النبي من الأنبياء لا يكفر، لا يصدر منه كفر، لا قبل النبوة ولا بعدها. A prophet does not commit blasphemy neither before prophethood nor after prophethood. حتى حتى إن النبي الذي يولد لأب كافر لا يجرى عليه حكم الكفر بالتبعية. To the extent that if يعني لا يجرى عليه حكم الكفر بالتبعية قبل التمييز وهو دون البلوغ. To the extent that if a prophet is born to a parent which is not Muslim, then this prophet would not be treated as a non-Muslim before puberty while he was young. It wouldn't be judged as like a blasphemer. That is, the rules of non-Muslims related to non-Muslims do not apply on him. هذه مسألة. This is one case, one issue. الأنبياء معصومون من الكفر قبل النبوة وبعدها. The prophets are clear of blasphemy before prophethood and after prophethood. كذلك الأنبياء لا يجوز عليهم ارتكاب ذنب من الكبائر، لا يفعلون ذنبا من الكبائر أي كبيرة. Likewise the prophets do not commit an enormous sin. Any enormous sin, the prophets do not commit it. وكذلك هم معصومون من الذنوب التي تدل على الدناءة والخسة. Likewise, they are clear from the sins that show, that reflect that reflects lowliness. Whether before prophethood or after prophethood. وأما الذنوب التي هي غير كبيرة وليس فيها خسة ودناءة فقد اختلف في جوازها على الأنبياء علماء أهل السنة. As for the sins that are not considered enormous sins and do not show lowliness, that is small sins that do not reflect lowliness and meanness, the scholars of Ahl Sunnah had different opinions about whether a prophet might commit such sin or not. Is it possible for a prophet to commit such sin or not? أغلب العلماء لا سيما المتقدمون قالوا هذا يجوز على الأنبياء. Most of the scholars, especially among the earlier ones, said it is possible that a prophet commits such sin. قالوا يدل على هذا ظواهر النصوص القرآنية والحديثية. They said also the texts in Al-Quran and the Hadith show that. If you take them without as they appear, they show that it is possible for a prophet to commit a sin which does not entail lowliness and meanness. وبعض العلماء وهم الأقل قالوا حتى الصغيرة التي ليس فيها خسة ودناءة لا تجوز على الأنبياء. The other part of the scholars of Ahl Sunnah, and they are in numbers, they are the minority, especially among the earlier scholars, said that it is not possible, or let me rephrase it, a prophet would never commit a sin, even if this sin is a small sin and does not entail lowliness and meanness. قالوا لأننا مأمورون بالاقتداء بهم فلو كان يحصل منهم معصية لكنا مأمورين بفعلها وهذا باطل. They said because Allah ordered us to follow the prophets. Had it been permissible, had it been possible that a prophet commits a sin, even a small sin that does not entail lowliness, then we would have been ordered to do this sin. actually we are prohibited from that. This is why they said a prophet would never commit a sin, whether it is a small one or a major one. لكن جمهور العلماء لهم جواب عن هذا. But the majority of the scholars, they have a response to this issue. قالوا إذا حصل من نبي من الأنبياء ذنب صغير ليس فيه خستة ولا دناءة فإنه يسرع بالتوبة قبل أن يقتدي به أحد فلا يخشى المحذور الذي ذكرتموه. The majority of the scholars said, if a prophet committed a sin, a small sin, that does not entail lowliness or meanness, then this prophet would repent from it quickly enough before anyone would imitate, would follow him in doing this sin. And thus they said, this is the reliable saying, the saying that has more weight. فقالوا هذا القول هو القول الراجح الأصح لأنه هو الموافق لظاهر الآيات والأحاديث والظاهر لا نتركه إلا لدليل ولم يقم دليل هنا لنؤوله. They said, this saying is in compliance with the apparent meaning of the verses and the hadith of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. And there is a rule in our Sharia. We do not leave out the apparent meaning and seek another one for the verse or the hadith, except if there is a proof that shows that. They said here there is no proof that that pushes us, if you want, that leads us to infer meanings other than the apparent meanings to these verses and these hadiths. على كل حال الفريقان من أهل السنة. Anyway, both scholars are among the scholars, both parties are among the scholars of أهل السنة والجماعة. أما الضلال فهو تجويز الكفر أو الكبائر أو ما فيه خسة ودناءة على أنبياء الله تعالى. What is dangerous, what makes a person a loser on the level of the creed, is to attribute blasphemy, enormous sins, or mean sins to the Prophet, to any Prophet among the Prophets عليهم الصلاة والسلام. وهنا ينبغي التنبيه إلى أمر. Here, let me draw your attention to a matter. حتى العلماء الذين قالوا الذنوب الصغيرة التي ليس فيها خسة ولا دناءة, الذنوب كلها حتى الصغيرة التي ليس فيها خسة ولا دناءة لا تجوز على الأنبياء, أثبتوا اسم المعصية لما فعله سيدنا آدم. Even the scholars that said the prophets are clear from all the sins, including the small ones that do not entail lowliness and meanness. They said that we call the act done by Prophet Adam, that is when he ate from that fruit, we call this act ma'asiyah. وذلك لموافقة ما جاء في القرآن. And this is so, they said so, for not contradicting the verse of Al-Quran. Allah قال وعصى آدم ربه فغوى. Allah Ta'ala said in the 121st verse of Surah Taha, وعصى آدم ربه فغوى, which means Adam disobeyed the order of Allah تبارك وتعالى. أغلب العلماء قالوا هذا دليل لقولنا أن الصغيرة التي ليس فيها خسة ولا دناءة تجوز على الأنبياء. Most of the scholars said this is a proof of what we are saying, that the small sin that does not entail meanness or lowliness can be done, it might be done by a prophet. لأن معنى وعصى أي خالف أمر الله. Because the meaning of the term asa in the verse is to disobey Allah, not to fulfill the orders of Allah. الآخرون من العلماء قالوا نحن لا ننفي أن آدم عصى ربه, كيف ننفي وهو مذكور في القرآن. The other scholars said we do not negate that Adam عصى الله, that he committed معصيه. We do not negate that. How would we negate it while it is mentioned in Al-Quran? قالوا لكن جمعا بين الأدلة نقول المعصية هنا لا تحمل على معناها الظاهر. They said, but to go by both proofs, we say here that the term عصى does not mean to commit a sin. إنما فعل آدم كان لا ينبغي أن يصدر ممن هو في مرتبته, فلأنه كان لا ينبغي أن يصدر مما هو في مرتبته سمي معصية لا على معنى أن فيه إثما وذنبا. They said rather the term عصى is used in reference to what Adam did, because Prophet Adam should not do what he did. Someone in his status should not do what he did. So because he did it, the term asa was used. Not so to refer that it shouldn't be done by him, but not to reflect, not to mean that this is a sin on his part. واضح إلى هنا. Is it clear up till here?
What's not clear? عصى.
Because in Arabic the term عصى usually it's used to refer committing to refer to committing a sin. So because it's used in Al-Quran in reference to Adam, then those who said the Prophet does not commit any sin at all, how would they deal with this? They said to go by both proofs, we use the term asa in reference to Adam alayhi salam, because it is used in Al-Quran. It is in Al-Quran. So we do not attribute the term asa to Adam. No, we do. But we say in this context, it does not mean to commit a sin. It means he committed something that he should not commit. Is it clear? You are welcome. No. مخالفة الأمر عند الإطلاق معناها المعصية. ما اللي أنا قلته ما... وإلا هل منفوت بعلم الأصول ما بدنا نفوت هلا بها. لكن الذي قلته واضح. هذا هو. الآن إلى هنا. الآن إلى هنا. الأولون الأغلب من العلماء ما وجدوا حاجة للتأويل. Most of the scholars did not find themselves in need to infer other than the apparent meaning to this term, to this verse. قالوا لأن ما استدل به الآخرون لا نسلم به. They said because what the others considered as a proof to do that, we do not consider it as a proof. قالوا لأننا نقول النبي من الأنبياء يتوب قبل أن يعتقد أحد أن هذا مطلوب أو جائز. They said because we say the prophet who commits a small sin repents before anyone believes that this sin is permissible. It is permissible to do it before that. So there is no need, there is no proof that leads us to infer a meaning other than the apparent meaning to this verse. نعم حاج. He knows. A prophet knows that what he did. What do you mean, how? He just repents. He would just repent. That's it. Why? وقد اختلف العلماء في بيان عدد الأنبياء. The scholars had different opinions about how many prophets were sent. بعضهم قال 124 ألف نبي. Some said 124,000 prophets. واعتمدوا في ذلك على حديث أبي ذر الذي رواه ابن حبان وغيره. They relied upon the hadith narrated by Ibn Hibban and others from the route of Abu Dharr from the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. وفيه ذكر هذا العدد للأنبياء. In it, it is mentioned that the prophets are 124,000 prophets. وقال بعض آخرون لا نعين عددا. And some other scholars said we do not specify a number. لأننا إذا ذكرنا عددا فوق عددهم نكون أدخلنا فيهم من ليس منهم. وإذا ذكرنا عددا دون عددهم نكون أخرجنا منهم من ليس منهم. They said because if we mention a number which is more than the number in reality, then as if we are attributing prophethood to people who are not prophets. And if we mention a number less than the real number, actual number, then as if we are denying the prophethood of some of them. This is why we do not want to specify a number. قالوا وهذا الحديث حديث ابن حبان مختلف في صحته. They said this hadith narrated by Ibn Hibban, some scholars of hadith said that it is not confirmed. لذلك قالوا لا ندخل في تحديد عددهم. That's why they said we do not specify a number. لأن أحد رواة ذلك الحديث مختلف فيه. Because one of the narrators of that hadith, there are different opinions about him, whether he was reliable or not. أما الآخرون فقالوا نحن ثبت عندنا توثيق هذا الراوي. As for the others, they said, for us, we are sure that this narrator is reliable. فالحديث ثابت عندنا. So the hadith is confirmed for us. لذلك نعين العدد. That's why we specify the number. قال المؤلف رحمه الله وأن القرآن كلام الله منه بدا بلا كيفية قولا وأنزله على رسوله وحيا وصدقه المؤمنون على ذلك حقا وأيقنوا أنه كلام الله تعالى بالحقيقة ليس بمخلوق ككلام البرية فمن سمعه فزعم أنه كلام البشر فقد كفر وقد ذمه الله وعابه وأوعده بسقر حيث قال تعالى سأصليه سقر فلما أوعد الله بسقر لمن قال من قال إن هذا إلا قول البشر علمنا وأيقنا أنه قول خالق البشر ولا يشبه قول البشر. The author said, the Quran is the kalam of Allah. Allah is the one who revealed its expression to his prophet without his own attribute of speech resembling any attribute of the creation. The believers believe with certainty that it is the kalam of Allah, the Exalted, and that it is not created like the speech of the creation. Whoever hears the Quran and falsely says that it is composed by a human is a blasphemer. Allah despised censured and threatened such a person with saqar, that is hellfire. He, the exalted, said, سَأُصْلِيهِ saqar. It means Allah will burn him in hellfire. Since Allah threatened with saqar, the one who says, إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا قَوْلُ الْبَشَرِ, that is the one who says, this book is composed by a human, we know for certain that it is revealed by the Creator of mankind, and that his speech does not resemble the speech of mankind. هنا بدأ الطحاوي رحمة الله عليه الكلام عن صفة الكلام لله تبارك وتعالى. Here الطحاوي, may Allah have mercy on him, started talking about the attribute of speech of Allah تبارك وتعالى. والكلام في هذه المسألة يحتاج إلى في هذه الأيام إلى زيادة إيضاح عن أمور أخرى عديدة من أمور العقيدة. Nowadays, there is a need to go in more explanation to clarify this issue more than other matters in pertaining to the creed. لأن كثيرا من الناس في هذه الأيام ضاقت معارفهم وضاقت أفهامهم. Because many people nowadays, let me say, most of the people nowadays, their knowledge about the language and the proper way of expressing is less than before, especially in the Arabic language. And their minds are not as strong as the minds of the people who lived before us. لأسباب كثيرة لا ندخل فيها. For many reasons that we are not going to discuss. من أوضحها أن المعاصي هذه الأيام أكثر, وهذا يؤثر في القلب وفي الفهم. Among the most clear issues is that there are more sinning nowadays, and sinning affects the heart and the understanding of the person. وقد وقع في السابق كما ذكرنا اختلاف كبير بين أهل السنة ومعارضيهم في هذه المسألة. In the past, a big disagreement occurred between أهل السنة and their opponents. أهل السنة في هذه المسألة وسط بين فريقين كل منهما على ضلال. The people of Ahl-Sunnah in this matter are in the middle between two extreme groups. Both are wrong, are misguided. فريق من الفريقين ينفي عن الله صفة الكلام. One of the two groups, extreme groups, say that Allah is not attributed with speech. هذا الفريق ينفي الكلام النفسي. وقالوا لهم المعتزلة. يقولون الكلام هو فقط الألفاظ. This group is called المعتزلة. And among the basics is to negate the speech of the self, the speech which is not letters and sounds. For them, a speech means always letters and sounds. That's it. لذلك قالوا لا يوصف الله بصفة قائمة بذاته هي صفة الكلام، لأن الأحرف والأصوات مخلوقة، ولا يجوز أن يوصف الله بصفة مخلوقة. And this is why they said it is not permissible for Allah to be attributed with speech, because speech means letters and sounds, and these are created matters, and Allah, and it is not permissible to attribute Allah with created things, created attributes. Thus, Allah is not attributed with al-kalam. قالوا نقول عن الله متكلم يعني يخلق الكلام في غيره. They said, when we say in Arabic that Allah متكلم, this term متكلم means attributed with al-kalam. They said, when we say that, when this is mentioned in the religion, it does not mean that Allah is attributed with al-kalam. It means that Allah creates the speech in others. That's what they said. So one group negated the attribute of kalam. They are called al-Mu'tazila. وفرقة ثانية والفرقة الثانية الشاذة هم المشبهة، أثبتوا لله صفة الكلام لكن زعموا أن كلامه ككلامنا بحرف وسط. The second extreme group, deviated group, is the group of مشبهة, those who liken Allah to the creation. They did not deny the attribute of kalam, of speech, but they said the speech of Allah is like ours, is a speech composed, they said, it is a speech, it is an attribute of Allah, and it is composed of letters and sounds. كلا الفريقين على ضلال. Both parties, both groups are misguided. الفريق الأول رد النصوص القطعية التي لا تحتمل التأويل بآرائهم التي ليست دليلا، إنما هم قدموها على نصوص الشريعة فظنوها دليلا. The first group, they rejected the religious texts that are explicit in attributing Allah with the attribute of al-kalam, because they thought that they have proofs. They didn't have proofs. But what they did, that they have their own opinions, they gave priority to their opinions over the religious texts. So they perverted the meanings of the religious texts to comply with their opinions. Allah yu'idhuna min mithli dhali. May Allah protect us from that. الفريق الثاني جعل الله كخلقه، شبه الله بمخلوقاته. The second group likened Allah to the creation. هؤلاء أيضا انقسموا إلى قسمين. The second group are divided into two groups. قسم قالوا الحرف والصوت أزليان فخرجوا عن العقل. Some of them, لا سيما هذا كلام المتقدمين منهم. Some of them, especially the earlier ones among them, الذين كانوا قبل ابن تيمية, those who were before ابن تيمية, said that the sound and letters are eternal without a beginning. And by that, they are unreasonable. They spoke like crazy people. لأنه يعلم بالحس أن الصوت والحرف مخلوقان. Because by senses it is known that sounds and letters are created. They did not exist and then they exist. By sense this is known. By the senses this is known. وفرقة ثانية منهم قالت نوع الكلام أزلي, نوع الحروف أزلي, لكن كل حرف منها حادث. A second group among them, the second part of them said, the kind of the speech of Allah is eternal, but each letter, the kind of the letters, they said, the kind of the letters is eternal, but each letter with which Allah speaks has a beginning. يعني لإيضاح كلامهم على زعمهم الله يحدث يخلق في نفسه حروفا يتكلم بها. So to make clear what they say that Allah creates in it in His self letters with which He speaks. Also, this is like craziness. But this is what they said. وهذا هو ما قاله ابن تيمية ومن لحقه. This is what Ibn Taymiyyah said and those who followed him. أهل السنة وسط لا شذوا مع المعتزلة ولا شذوا مع مشبه. أهل السنة, their saying is in the middle, is the proper saying. They did not deviate with المعتزلة and they did not deviate with المشبه. لأن أهل السنة ما تركوا الدليل الشرعي ولا الدليل العقلي. Because أهل السنة did not neglect the religious, the textual proof, and they did not neglect the mental proof. إنما تمسكوا بما دل عليه الشرع ونصروه بدليل العقل. Rather, they adhered to the explicit statements in the religious texts, and they supported these meanings with the mental proofs. وسهل عليهم ذلك لأن الشرع لا يأتي إلا بمجوزات العقول. لما تمسكوا بما جاء به الشرع سهل عليهم إقامة الدليل العقلي على الصحة. And this was easy for the scholars of Ahl-Sunnah because they adhered to the texts of the religion. And the religion only comes with what is mentally correct. The religion only comes with what is accepted by the proofs of the mind. This is why when they adhered to the texts of the religion, it was easy for them to establish the mental proofs that support these texts. So Ahl al-Sunnah are in the middle. Ahl al-Sunnah قالوا أهل الوسط يعني أهل الصواب قالوا إن الله موصوف متصف بصفة الكلام لا ننكر ذلك لأن النصوص القرآنية والحديثية تدل عليه. They said, we do not deny that Allah is attributed with the attribute of al-kalam, the speech, because this is what the texts of al-Quran and al-Hadith show. These texts explicitly mention this. قالوا لكن كلامه ليس ككلام الخلق. They said, But his speech is not like the speech of the creation. فَلَيْسَ حَرْفًا وَلَا صَوْتًا. So it is not composed of letters and sounds. لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُشْبِهُ شَيْئًا. Because Allah does not resemble anything. كَمَا يَدُلُّ عَلَيْهِ أَيْضًا نُصُوصُ الْكِتَابِ وَالسُّنَّةِ. As it is shown also by the texts of Al-Quran and the Hadith. فَلَمْ يُهْمِلُوا نُصُوصَ الْإِثْبَاتِ وَلَمْ يُهْمِلُوا نُصُوصَ التَّنْزِيهِ. So they did not neglect the text, the religious texts that confirm that Allah is attributed with the attribute of kalam, and they did not neglect the texts of the religion that clear Allah from any resemblance to the creation. ولذلك لأنهم تمسكوا بنصوص الشرع سهل عليهم إقامة الدليل العقلي على أقوالهم. And this is why, because they adhered to the texts of the religion, it was easy for them to establish the mental proofs for what they said. ولذلك سهل عليهم إقامة الحجة على أهل الضلال. And this is why it was easy for them to defeat, by the proofs, the people of misguidance. فإذن الله عقيدتنا أن الله تبارك وتعالى موصوف بصفة الكلام وهو كلام لا يشبه كلامنا. كلام قائم بذاته ليس له بداية ولا له نهاية ولا هو مجزأ ولا يحدث دفعة بعد دفعة ولا هو حرف ولا هو صوت. إنما كلام هو صفته لا يشبه صفاتنا يليق به سبحانه. So our creed is that Allah is attributed with the attribute of this of speech, al-kalam. His attribute is not like ours. It is a speech that does not have a beginning. It does not have an end. It is not composed of parts. It is not something that happens in batches. It is not composed of sounds or letters. Rather, it is an eternal, everlasting attribute of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that does not resemble our attributes. وَأَمَّا اللَّفْظُ الْمُنَزَّلُ عَلَى سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ فَيُقَالُ لَهُ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ لِأَنَّهُ عِبَارَةٌ عن الصفة الأزلية. As for the terms revealed to Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام, the terms of Al-Quran revealed to Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام, they are called the speech of Allah because they are expression of the eternal, an expression of the eternal speech, of the eternal attribute of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Let me ask you a question. Does anyone among you remember what Prophet Ismail told his father when he wanted to slaughter him in obedience to Allah? Does anyone? يا أبت افعل ما تؤمر ستجدني إن شاء الله من الصابرين. Which means, O my father, do what Allah ordered you to do, you will find me patient with that. Insha'Allah, you will find me patient with that. Okay. So, this is what is mentioned in Al-Quran. So, do you all agree on that? Of course you do. Right? Do you have any doubt about it? No. Okay. You see how you easily said, this is what Ibrahim and Ismail, this is what Ismail said. Although Ismail did not speak neither the Arabic language nor the English language with his father. And still you say that this is what Ismail said. This is the saying of Ismail. Although Ismail never spoke at that time, Arabic or English, of course. Later he spoke Arabic. But at that time, Ismail did not speak Arabic. So, how would you say that this is the saying of Ismail? Because it's an expression of his saying. And because it is an expression of his saying, you can say it is his saying. This is to make it closer to the mind and to show how clear it is. How clear it is. It is clear and obvious for those whom Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala opened their hearts to understand. Now the one whom Allah Ta'ala did not will for him to understand, he will not find it clear or obvious, or he would reject it. Likewise, what is revealed, what was revealed to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the expressions, we call them the saying of Allah, we call them Al-Quran, we call them the speech of Allah, because these terms are an expression of the eternal speech of Allah. And they are not the eternal speech itself of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And still we call that Kalamullah. Is it clear? You see how easy and clear the belief of Ahl-Sunnah is? Very easy, very clear, very obvious. Jazallah al-ulama al-lazina awdahu thalika lana الإيضاح السهل خير. May Allah reward the scholars that made it so clear for us, so easy to understand. May Allah reward them greatly. طيب بعد هذا يسهل فهم عبارة الطحاوي. If this is understood properly, then it becomes easy to understand the statement of الطحاوي. قال الطحاوي رحمه الله وأن القرآن كلام الله. We believe that القرآن, الطحاوي, may Allah have mercy on him, said, we believe that القرآن is the speech of Allah. منه بدأ بلا كيفية قولا. If you want to translate it literally, you would say, by him it appeared with no manner of being of that speech. Something like that. معنى كلام الطحاوي أن القرآن كلام الله صفة قائمة بذات الله. منه بدا، يعني من الله ظهر، يعني أظهره الله. أظهره الله أيش يعني؟ بإنزاله وحيا على نبيه، أي أوحى الله به إلى نبيه فأظهره سبحانه. Allah made the speech apparent, that is by revealing it to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. عندما نقول أظهره، الهاء هنا يرجع إلى القرآن، لكن بأي معنى؟ ليس بمعنى الكلام الذاتي، بل بمعنى ايش؟ بمعنى اللفظ المنزل. وهذا جائز في لغة العرب، إذا كان الشخص لا يعرف أسلوب العرب في الكلام قد يشكل عليه الأمر هنا. إذا كان عنده العقيدة الصحيحة يقول أنا لا أفهم تماما، أعرف المعنى لكن لا أفهم تركيب الجملة كيف هو على التمام. أما إذا كان لا يعرف العقيدة الصحيحة ما تعلم، قد يقرأ هذه العبارة فيضل، قد يفهمها على غير معناها لجهله بلغة العرب وجهله مع ذلك بإيش؟ بالعقيدة الصحيحة. فإذا القرآن كلام الله، هنا القرآن يراد به الصفة القائمة بذات الله الأزلية. منه بدا، أي منه ظهر. الهاء في منه ترجع، ضمير يرجع على القرآن، لكن بأي معنى؟ ليس بمعنى الصفة الأزلية، إنما بمعنى إيش؟ اللفظ المنزل. أي منه ظهر، أي أظهره الله بإنزاله على نبيه وحيا، بلا كيفية قولا، أي وإنزاله وحيا على النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام لا يعني أن كلام الله له كيفية ويشبه كلامنا، إنما هو متكلم سبحانه بكلام أزلي أبدي بلا كيفية ولا يشبه كلامنا. فعبارة الطحاوي، عبارة الطحاوي عالية ودقيقة. بالنسبة له في أيامه سهل كان فهمها، أما بالنسبة لأيامنا مع الضعف الذي عند أغلب الناس في لغة العرب في أمر الدين، من يقرأ وحده هذه العبارة ويفسر هو من عند نفسه قد يزل. طيب، so what الطحاوي said that القرآن is the speech of Allah تبارك وتعالى. Allah made his speech apparent. When we say Allah made his speech apparent, this means by revealing it to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we say that, we are referring to the speech in which meaning? In the meaning of the expression revealed to Prophet Muhammad. Sounds and letters revealed to Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. So, the first statement by al-Tahawi, when he mentions al-Quran, he refers to the eternal attribute of Allah. Allah is attributed with the attribute of speech. Allah revealed His speech. Allah made apparent His speech. That is the expression revealed to Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. He made that apparent by revealing it to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. بلا كيفية قولا, without that being His eternal speech, without His eternal speech being attributed with the attributes of the creation. بلا كيفية, it means without being attributed with any attribute of the creation. الكيفية في لغة العرب تشمل كل ما كان من صفات المخلوقين. The term كيفية in Arabic language means everything among the attributes of the creation. الطحاوي قال بلا كيفية قولا, يعني قول الله كلام الله ليس له كيفية, ليس موصوفا بأي صفة من صفات المخلوقين. الطحاوي said بلا كيفية قولا, which means the speech of Allah is clear from any attribute among the attributes of the creation. بلا كيفية means to negate الكيفية. الكيفية in the Arabic language is every, it includes every attribute among the attributes of the creation. وأنزله على رسوله وحيا, هذا سهل. أنزل الله القرآن بمعنى اللفظ المنزل على رسوله محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بالوحي. He said and Allah revealed القرآن to Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. وصدقه المؤمنون على ذلك حقا. And the believers believed Prophet Muhammad in that without a doubt. وأيقنوا أنه كلام الله تعالى بالحقيقة. طيب, ما شاء الله. I don't want to interrupt this explanation. It's not good. I don't feel it's good to interrupt it. Just, I might need a board. شو حاج عمر, is it feasible to make it more clear? I might need a board. So if you can bring it in the meantime. If there is no board, خلاص, it's not a problem. But to make it more clear. وأيقنوا أنه كلام الله تعالى بالحقيقة. يعني أن المؤمنين اعتقدوا أن هذا الكلام الذي أنزله الله على سيدنا محمد هو كلام الله بالحقيقة, ليس مجازا. يسمى كلام الله حقيقة لا مجازا. شو يعني حقيقة؟ أي في الحقيقة الشرعية يسمى كلام الله, أي أن الشرع جاء بإثبات تسميته كلام الله تبارك وتعالى, ليس مجازا, إنما هذا حقيقة شرعية. إذا كان الكلام في أمور الشرع فقلنا عن اللفظ المنزل على سيدنا محمد القرآن بأنه كلام الله, فهذا حقيقة وليس مجازا. So he continued to say that the believers believed that the revealed kalam is called the speech of Allah, kalamullah, in reality. That is, it's not a figure of speech. Rather, it is a So it's not a figure of speech to call the revealed Quran kalamullah. ليس بمخلوق ككلام البرية. هنا رجع إلى الكلام عن إيش؟ لما قال ليس بمخلوق رجع إلى الكلام عن الصفة القائمة بذات الله. Then he continued to say, the kalam of Allah is not created like the speech of the creation, the human beings. فَمَنْ سَمِعَهُ فَزَعَمَ أَنَّهُ كَلَامُ الْبَشَرِ فَقَدْ كَفَرُ. So anyone who hears the revealed Quran and says that this is the speech of the human beings becomes a blasphemer. That is, if he says that this is authored, compiled by a human being, then he is kafir. Because Allah revealed it to Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam. Neither Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa salam authored it, nor Jibreel alayhi salam. وَقَدْ ذَمَّهُ اللَّهُ وَعَابَهُ وَأَوْعَدَهُ بِسَقَرُ. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala توعد من يقول ذلك بعذاب النار. Allah threatened the one who says that with hellfire. حيث قال سأصليه سقر. As in the verse of Surah المدثر. فلما أوعد الله بسقر من قال إن هذا إلا قول البشر علمنا وأيقنا أنه قول خالق البشر ولا يشبه قول البشر. And because Allah threatened, because Allah threatened with hellfire the one who says that this is authored by a human being, we know by that this is the speech of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and that the speech of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does not resemble the speech of the creation. Now when we say the speech of Allah Ta'ala does not resemble the speech of the creation, we are referring to what? To the eternal speech of Allah. So as you can notice, the term... Okay. Please keep concentrating. As we notice, or as you notice, the term Kalamullah, which means Al-Quran, which means Qawlullah, can bear two meanings. It can refer to the eternal attribute, as it can refer to what? To the revealed expression. Okay, you're not following. إذن كما قلنا كما تلاحظون كلام الله أي القرآن أي قول الله له إطلاقان يطلق ويراد به صفة الله القائمة بذاته ويطلق ويراد به اللفظ المنزل على سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. So as you can notice, these terms, كلام الله, which means the speech of Allah, which means Al-Quran, which means قول الله, the saying of Allah, these terms can refer, it bears more than one meaning. It can refer to the eternal attribute of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, as it can refer to the revealed expression. Isn't it the case? Do you follow? إطلاق ذلك على الصفة القائمة بذات الله حقيقة في العقل وحقيقة في الشرع. حقيقة عقلية وشرعية. لأن الشيء لا يكون متكلما إذا في حقيقة العقل إن لم يكن الكلام قائما به. واضح. لا يكون على الحقيقة متكلما إن لم يكن الكلام قائما به. فهذه حقيقة عقلية. Calling the eternal speech of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, calling Al-Quran or referring by saying Al-Quran, Kalamullah, Qawlullah, referring to the eternal speech of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, is a بدنا نعمل مقدمة لأنه أنا أظن حتى بالعربي اللي عم نحكيه ما واضح تماما شو يعني. بدنا نعمل مقدمة طويلة. We need to have a long introduction here, not very long, but prepare yourselves. We need to have a long, somehow a long introduction, which we talked about it before. Those who attended previous classes, or they will find it easier because we talked about it before. Otherwise, if you listen, mashallah, you will understand what is said. There is a need to explain that. Why? Because, as I said, this text of At-Tahawi is very famous. It is acceptable by the Muslims in the different countries all around the world. Now, the Wahhabis nowadays, those who call themselves Salafis, when they found that, they couldn't say that the creed of At-Tahawi is a false creed. So what they did is that they tried to pervert the meanings of this creed. And if the person does not know really certain matters, really know them, then he would be unable to refute them. Now, several things that I'm going to mention are related to the Arabic language. Concentrate a little bit and you will understand it, even if you do not speak Arabic. You will find it very interesting. let me try to write something, and you will follow me. We'll try to use the board to make it more clear, especially when I use Arabic terms. When you see them, it becomes easier to follow up, inshallah ta'ala. In the Arabic language, in the Arabic language, can't you hear me? Follows. In the Arabic language, you have terms like, let's say, insan, which means a human being. It is originally, if you check, let me continue. You have terms like insan, it means a human. Okay, you know how to write English. Being, being with a G. Okay. You have the term, let's say, Bahar, which literally means sea. You have the term Qawl, which means speech. You have the term kalam, which means speech. You have the term Quran, which means speech. طيب. You have the term let's say himar, which means donkey. طيب. Originally in the language, certain term or for each term in the language, the Arabic language. Whenever I say the language now, I mean the Arabic language. Each term has a meaning related to it. Okay? So when this term is used, then it would be referring to this meaning. كل كلمة في لغة العرب مرتبطة مربوطة دالة على معنى في اللغة معنى أو أكثر بحيث إذا استعملت هذه الكلمة يفهم منها إيش ذلك المعنى إذا سمعنا كلمة حمار so if we hear the term حمار نعرف أن المراد من ذلك الدابة التي يركب عليها. We know from that it means, it refers to the animal that people ride on it. Well, maybe not in Philadelphia. إذا قلنا إنسان نعرف أن المراد من كان من ذرية آدم عليه السلام. If we say إنسان, we know what's meant by that. One of the offsprings of Adam عليه السلام, أو آدم نفسه or Adam himself. إذا قلنا بحر نعرف أن المراد من ذلك هذا المجمع الكبير من الماء. If we say بحر in Arabic, we know that it refers to a big container of water, a big body of water. Correct. طيب. هلا فيما بعد الناس أو مش فيما بعد الناس أحيانا إذا استعمل لفظ من هذه الألفاظ مع قرينة معينة مع دليل مع شيء آخر لا يعود يعطي معناه الأصلي إنما يعطي معنى آخر. Sometimes with some terms, if you use them in a certain context, with a certain restriction, with a certain sign, then this term does not refer anymore to its original meaning, rather it refers to another meaning. مثلا إذا كنت تتكلم عن وهابي فقلت حمار تريد بذلك أنه غبي لا تريد بذلك أنه الدابة التي يركب عليها. For example, if you are talking about a Wahhabi and you say he is حمار, so now you are not referring to the fact that he is someone on whom you would ride, Mahek. You would ride. Yes, you're not referring to that, Mahek. And I mean, obviously, you are referring that he is stupid. Now, using this term in another meaning, by association with a certain context, a certain sign, something that shows that you are not using it in its original meaning, this exists in the Arabic language, and it is called majaz. Just as, يعني, dumb, كيف بيكتبوا dumb? D-U-M-N? Okay, كيف حاج? صح. You use that in English, don't you? Okay. I don't know what you call the original meaning, but in Arabic, the original meaning is called haqiqa. So when we say haqiqa, we are not referring to the meaning truth of haqiqa here. We are referring to the original meaning. Okay? When it's used with the other meaning, not the original one, we refer to it as majaz. ليس كل كلمة في العربية لها مجاز. Not every word in the Arabic language, it has majaz. Some words do not. Some words do. Some words do not. مثلا بحر إذا تكلمت عن إنسان واسع العلم تقول بحر عنه تريد تشبيهه بالبحر في سعة العلم أو شديد الكرم تقول بحر أو نحو ذلك أو غير هذا. For example, the term بحر in Arabic, which originally refers to a huge body of water, not only sea, a huge body of water. So when you say Bahar, if you say, for example, Abdullah ibn Abbas al-Bahar, if you call Abdullah ibn Abbas by this term, surely you do not mean that Abdullah ibn Abbas was a huge body of water. Here you mean something else, which is he had a lot of knowledge, vast knowledge. This is called majaz, if you are talking about vast. Okay. Is this clear? طيب إذا فهم هذا ليعلم كذلك أن هناك كلمات في اللغة العربية لها أكثر من معنى من حيث الحقيقة. Now know that there are certain words in the Arabic language that can bear more than one meaning, while all of them are original meanings. Okay, while all of them are original meanings. For example, bayda. Bayda, it can refer to an egg, and it can refer to this thing that those who fight, Hamlet, helmet, to a helmet. And both are original meanings in the Arabic language. This is a common word for these two meanings. And both are original meanings. So sometimes you have some words that have more than one original meaning according to the language. Okay? Now, when we are talking in the religious, about the religious matters, another factor is there. If I'm talking with you on the level of the language, Arabic language, then I'm trying to summarize a whole book for you now. Good luck, barakallahu fiqh, ya Hajj. So you could understand properly what Abu Ja'far said. Okay. As we have original meanings and majaz, haqiqa and majaz, on the level of the language, we have something like that when we talk on the level of the religious matters. And let me clear it, make it more clear. For example, so let me ask you, when you say the original meaning, what does it refer to then? If I ask you, what's the definition of the original meaning? Well, what's the definition? Give me a definition. Whether in Arabic or in English. مظبوط. مين بيكملها شوي؟ يحيى. That's it. The term, المعنى الذي يخطر في البال لهذه الكلمة إذا لم يكن معها أي قرينة أخرى. هذا هو. Just as يحيى said, the meaning that occurs first to the mind if there is no other thing associated to this term. If you are, do not associate to it any other meaning, any other context, any other sign, any other... So if you just say it, the meaning that comes first to the mind of the people when they hear it, this is the original meaning. Let's say what I said, because this is a technical definition. So, is it clear up till here? طيب, on the level of الشرع, there is something like that. Exactly the same. For example, when you say Salah, what does come to, if I say just like that, Salah? Prayer. So if I use the verb Salla, prayed, get up and pray. قم فصلي, get up and pray. That is, make the prayer. But in the Arabic language, Salla can mean also make dua, make a supplication. If I am talking about the religious matters, if I am talking about the religious issues, what is the first meaning that comes to one's mind when one hears the term Salah? The prayer, mahek? عند الكلام في أمور الشرع في الشرعيات إذا قلنا الصلاة أول ما يخطر بالبال إيش؟ من غير أي قرينة الصلوات الخمس, هذا الذي يخطر في البال. فيكون استعمال كلمة الصلاة في أمور الشرع بمعنى الصلوات الخمس حقيقة شرعية. أما استعمالها بمعنى الدعاء شو بيكون؟ مجاز. ولو كان باللغة العكس, لأنه كلامنا هلأ في أي شيء في الشرعيات. So when we are talking about the religious issues, if we use the term salah without any restriction, anything associated to it, what comes first to the mind is what? The prayer, the religious prayer, the five prayers, for example. Using this term in the meaning of the five prayers, one of the five prayers of the like, is haqiqa, is considered here the original meaning, because we are talking about which issues? Religious issues. In this context, when we talk in this context, using it with this meaning would be haqiqa, while if we use it with the meaning of making supplication, it would not be haqiqa. Okay? Why? Because when we talk about the religious issues, this is not the meaning that usually it is used to mean. Mahay? Then it would be majaz. Bas. This type of haqiqa, we call it haqiqa shar'iyya, which means original meaning in the religious texts. Okay? Although in the language it wouldn't be the same. And in this case it's not the same. If we were talking on the level of, if I was discussing some linguistic matters with a linguist, and we mention the term salah, then it would be referring to what? To supplication. Except if there is something that leads to the meaning of the prayer. Okay? Is it clear up till now? لغة المعنى الحقيقي الدعاء والمجازي إذا أطلقت على الصلوات الخمس على الصلاة الشرعية إذا كان الكلام في مجال اللغة. شو حاجة؟ تفضل. أي حاجة؟ لا أبو إسحاق الشيرازي ردد عليك رد عم تفوت حالك فوتت حاج ما بتزبط معك ما خلينا عند هون طيب إذا عشان هيك أنا قلت عم بختصر كتاب بيال بس حتى بس على القليل ناخذ فكره واضحه. طيب اذا قلنا طيب خلينا نرجع الى امر الكلام. So let's go back to the issue of الكلام والقران. في اللغه القران معناه القول. In the language القران means the speech, the saying, القول. القران إذا كان معناه القول فإذن إذا أطلق على صفة الله القائمة بذاته فهو حقيقة عقلية وحقيقة شرعية. If we say that القرآن originally in the language means the saying or the speech, then if we attribute it, if we use it to refer to the attribute of Allah تبارك وتعالى, then this would be حقيقة عقلية, a mental reality, and a religious حقيقة. And it would be the original meaning in the religious text. According, if you want, other than in, according to the religious text. لأن الموصوف لأن الشيء لا يكون متكلما إلا إذا كان متصفا بالكلام. هي حقيقة عقلية. Because as a mental fact, anything wouldn't be I don't know if you might say anything wouldn't be saying or speaking except if it is attributed with the attribute of speech. If one is not attributed with the attribute of speech, in reality, this one wouldn't be speaking. Let's say Ali Gil, Allah yubarik fi, he's sitting there, he tells me, say such and such. So I tell you such and such. Okay? If you know that Ali Gil told me to say that to you, in reality, when I'm saying it to you, is Ali speaking? Who's speaking? If someone says in reality Ali is speaking when you are speaking because he told you to say these words, do you accept that? No. Do you accept that? While you are silent, if someone says, in reality, Ali is now speaking because he is the one who told you to say this word, do you accept that? No. So, when you use the term Al-Quran to refer to the eternal speech of Allah, this is a mental fact. And
It is حقيقة in the religious context. Because when you say Al-Quran in the religious texts without associating to it any other meaning, it refers to the eternal attribute of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Up till here, is it clear? So, it is haqiqa. So bear in mind that when Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi is talking about al-haqiqa, he is talking about al-haqiqa al-shar'iyya, haqiqa in the religious context. Okay? Up till here, is it clear? But Al-Quran can be used also to mean the revealed text. And this is also haqiqa in the religious context. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in Al-Quran and the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam in the hadith, they called the revealed text by also what? Al-Quran. Okay? So also this is haqiqa in the religious context. فَإِذَنْ لَفْظُ الْقُرْآنِ يُطْلَقُ عَلَى كَلَامِ اللَّهِ الذَّاتِيِّ وَهَذِهِ حَقِيقَ شَرْعِيَّةِ ويطلق على اللفظ المنزل وهذه شو كمان حقيقة شرعية. So the term Al-Quran is used to refer to the eternal attribute of Allah, and this is حقيقة in the religious context. Also it is used to refer to the revealed text, and this is also an original meaning in the religious context. Up till here, is it clear? So Al-Tahawi says, whenever Al-Tahawi says, Al-Quran, Al-Tahawi or other than him, if someone says, Al-Quran, أنزلَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ حَقِيقَةً. So whenever Al-Tahawi or anyone else says Al-Quran was revealed by Allah to Muhammad haqiqatan, it means, and he makes it clear that he is referring to the revealed book, to the revealed text, this usage of term haqiqatan does not mean that the revealed text is the eternal attribute. Rather, this means in the religious texts, when we say Al-Quran haqiqatan أنزله الله على محمد, this means that the revealed book in the religious text is referred to by the word Al-Quran, and this is haqiqa, an original meaning, and it's not majaz. And okay, now I feel you are confused. Let's keep going in another way. Let's go in another way. Don't tell me you are not confused. You are not. I'm not talking about you, Hajj. طيب. حدي نقلني عبارة الطحاوي. Give me the actual statement of الطحاوي. من الأول. في أبلى حاج. أبلى. لا حاج هتخلصهم بالوضع. So look what al-Tahawi said. وَأَنَّ الْقُرْآنَ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ. نعم كمل حبيبي. نعم 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 نعم
ليس
اوكي. Let's try to put a translation next to each statement. وَأَنَّ وأن القرآن كلام الله منه بدأ appearance AI appearance Apparent, apparent. Prophet firm I R M they are firm شو قلت أنا؟ شو قلت؟ خلاص احنا ما عملنا. طيب this is the statement of الطحاوي. وأن القرآن كلام الله. القرآن is the كلام of Allah. So we are talking about القرآن, okay? منه بدا القرآن was made apparent by Allah. That is, by revealed it to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bila kayfiyatin qawla. Without his speech having any manner of being. Manner double N when I was born. وأنزله على رسوله وحيا. He revealed it to his prophet. وصدقه المؤمنون على ذلك حقا. The believers believed that. وأيقنوا أنه كلام الله تعالى بالحقيقة. So pay attention. Pay attention. So pay attention, Allah yubariku fikum. Now we are talking here وَأَنْزَلَهُ عَلَى رَسُولِهِ وَحْيَا about the revealed text, aren't we? وَصَدَّقَهُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ حَقَّا وَأَيْقَنُوا أَنَّهُ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى بِالْحَقِيقَةِ. كلامنا هنا عن اللفظ المنزل. لو قال لك شخص انظر الطحاوي يقول وأيقنوا أنه كلام الله تعالى بالحقيقة, حقيقة هذا اللفظ المنزل هو كلام الله, أي الذي هو صفته. يقول لك أليس قال قبل بلا كيفية قولا وأن القرآن كلام الله؟ أليس قلت الكلام هنا عن الصفة الذاتية؟ ثم قال لك وأيقنوا أنه, أي اللفظ المنزل, هو كلام الله تعالى بالحقيقة. أما لو كان الأمر كما تقول أنت أن هذا اللفظ عبارة عن الكلام المنزل عن الكلام الذاتي لكان هذا مجازا ليس حقيقة. عند ذلك أنت تقول لا ليس كما تقول, أو يقول لك لكان هذا ليس الحقيقة. ما بيفهموا بالمجاز ولا عارفين في من النص إنه لقال يمكن بزدت كلمة. عند ذلك أنت إيش تقول له؟ لا, إطلاق اللفظ المنزل على إطلاق القرآن على اللفظ المنزل حقيقة شرعية وردت في الشرع, كما أن إطلاق القرآن على كلام الله الذاتي حقيقة وردت في الشرع. فقول الطحاوي هنا بالحقيقة أي بالحقيقة الشرعية, وهذا نحن لا ننافيه لا نخالفه. واضح؟ It is so clear. But يعني the one who does not know what's the meaning, الذي لا يعرف ما معنى الحقيقة الشرعية كيف يجيب هنا؟ تقول له الطحاوي يقول إن اللفظ المنزل يطلق عليه القرآن حقيقة, أي حقيقة في الشرع, وهذا كذلك. فعلى ايش اعتراضك؟ هذا لا ينافي عقيدتنا. بس اذا واحد ما فهمان شو يعني الحقيقة الشرعية لا يعرف ان يقول هذا. So now if, as you can see, if someone comes to you and tells you الطحاوي started to talk here وأن القرآن كلام الله about the eternal كلام of Allah تبارك وتعالى, then he said that Allah revealed to his prophet القرآن. Okay, so he started by saying القرآن is the speech of Allah, and then he said الطحاوي that Allah revealed القرآن on his prophet, the believers believed that, and they affirm that Al-Quran is the speech of Allah بالحقيقة. So if he tells you, Al-Tahawi is saying about the revealed text that it is the speech of Allah بالحقيقة. So you cannot say it is an expression. If he tells you, Al-Tahawi says that بالحقيقة, well, he doesn't understand what بالحقيقة means, but he would use it, especially if he's using, if he speaks Arabic. He would say, Al-Tahawi says بالحقيقة. If you go, if you say like you are saying, that would be majaz. You would tell him, no. Using the term Al-Quran to refer to the revealed text is haqiqa. It is haqiqa, which means the original meaning, in the religious texts. In Al-Quran and the Hadith, it is mentioned that Al-Quran, it is referred to the revealed text by Al-Quran. So this is haqiqa in the religious context. This is what Al-Tahawi is saying, and our creed does not contradict that. Okay? Because what I'm trying to say, if you don't know the usage of Al-Haqiqa, that it refers to the original meaning, someone might trick you and say, بالحقيقة, this means like truly, or this is the truth, that the revealed text is the eternal attribute. So you tell them بالحقيقة means بالحقيقة الشرعية, the original meaning in the religious context. This is الحقيقة. And this does not contradict the belief of Ahl Sunnah, rather it complies with the belief of Ahl Sunnah. هل أتركني من اللغوية؟ لا عدين. Later وزير. Let's understand this. Up till here, is it clear we are talking about the religious matters, aren't we? Aren't we? Isn't this a religious matter? Then it's enough to talk in the religious context. We don't need to go farther than that now. شو جلال؟ قول لا, ما عم نقول حقيقة شرعية يعني ثابتة بالنصوص الشرعية. طيب بعد في, there is still something to be said here. Is it clear? Are you tired? So why then are you talking? تفضل. Well, I can't hear you, Dana. Sorry, I didn't understand anything. طولي بالك. هلا هلا في شيء هنا ينبغي إيضاحه. في لغة العرب هناك شيء يقال له الاستخدام. شو يعني الاستخدام؟ تورد كلمة بعد بمعنى كلمة ظاهرة مش ضمير، بمعنى، ثم بعد ذلك تورد ضميرا راجعا إلى هذه الكلمة لكن بمعنى ثان لهذه الكلمة ليس بالمعنى الأول، بمعنى ثان لهذه الكلمة. هذا يقال له الاستخدام، في لغة العرب يقال له الاستخدام. وفي عبارة الطحاوي هذا مستعمل، انظر ايش قال: وأن القرآن كلام الله، وأن القرآن هو صفة الله الكلام، منه بدأ هذه الهاء، منه هذه الهاء ترجع إلى ايش؟ إلى القرآن، منه بدأ. لكن هنا بمعنى اللفظ المنزل، ما هيك؟ فرجع الضمير إلى القرآن لكن بمعنى ثان الذي هو معنى اللفظ المنزل، ليس بمعنى الصفة القائمة بذات الله. هذا يقال له الاستخدام. أولا لفظ القرآن لفظ ظاهر، ظاهر يعني منه ضمير. بعد ذلك بمعنى الصفة الأزلية، بعد ذلك استعمل الهاء الضمير وهو يرجع على القرآن على اللفظ الظاهر لكن بمعنى آخر الذي هو معنى شو؟ اللفظ المنزل. بعدين هنا رجع أيضا على القرآن بالمعنى الآخر الذي هو اللفظ المنزل. بعدين هنا رجع على القرآن بالمعنى الأول الذي هو الكلام الذاتي. واضح؟ وأنه كلام الله تعالى بالحقيقة. عفوا هنا ليس بمخلوق، ليس يقدر ضمير هنا، هو هذا الضمير رجع على القرآن لكن بالمعنى الأول الذي هو ايش؟ الصفة الأزلية. واضح؟ هذا يقال له الاستخدام في لغة العرب. اللي ما بيعرفه كمان قد يخدعه مخادع في تفسير كلام الطحاوي، أو قد يظن أن كلام الطحاوي شو؟ قد يظن أن كلام الطحاوي ركيك، أو أنه متداخل غير واضح أو متناقض، وليس كذلك. لكن بالنسبة لهم هذا كان شيئا شديد الوضوح في أيامهم، معروف هذا في لغة العرب. شو أبو ياسر؟ بمعنى اللفظ المنزل، ترجع إلى القرآن بمعنى اللفظ المنزل، بس الهاء أنزله رجع على القرآن. الله أنزل القرآن، أنزله، أنزل القرآن، ما هي؟ طيب. Now there is still one thing related to the Arabic language which is interesting to know. وأن القرآن كلام الله. This means that القرآن is the كلام of Allah, that is the eternal speech, the eternal attribute of Allah. Then the next statement, it says, الطحاوي said, منه بدا. If you want to translate it literally, you would say, or one would say, by him, it appeared. And if you say by him, it appeared, If someone says that, it here would be going back to Al-Quran, isn't it? If someone says Al-Quran is the Kalam of Allah, like here, he made it appear, he made Al-Quran. Appear. Him ما بيأثر. By him it appeared, or he made Al-Quran appear in the same meaning. So if you say Al-Quran is the Kalam of Allah, and then if you say he made it apparent by revealing it to Prophet Muhammad, then there is confusion there. Because first you are talking about what? The eternal attribute, and then you would be saying by revealing it, which would go back to the eternal, it refers to the eternal attribute, and the eternal attribute is not revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is why you need to understand something referring to the, related to the, should be some mudama, to the pronouns in Arabic. In Arabic, you might use a word first, a name, then with a meaning, a name that has two meanings. A noun that has two meanings. You can use it first, then use a pronoun after that, that goes back to this noun with another, yani you can use the noun first with one meaning, and then use a pronoun that goes back to the noun but with the second meaning. If you don't know this about the Arabic language, you might be confused, or someone might mistranslate the statement of At-Tahawi to support an ill claim, an ill belief. So that's why when you translate it here, وَأَنَّ الْقُرْآنَ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ, that is, Al-Quran is the speech, the eternal attribute of speech of Allah, مِنْهُ بَدَى, this who, which means it refers to Al-Quran, but not with the first meaning used first, which is the eternal speech, rather with the second meaning that this word can bear, which is the revealed text. Then he keeps going, he kept going in this referring to this word in the second meaning until getting here, and he used a pronoun to refer to it again with the first meaning. When he said, لَيْسَ بِمَخْلُوقٍ كَكَلَامِ الْبَرِيَّةِ, it is not created like the speech of the creation. Here it refers to Al-Quran, but with which meaning? With the meaning of the eternal speech. A person who does not know well the Arabic language, even if he is an Arab, he might be lost here. He might say, what is At-Tahawi trying to say? He might be lost, or he might believe something wrong out of his statement. At his age, at his time, they spoke the Arabic language very well. So this was very clear for them. Very known for them, very clear, which is not the case nowadays. That's why you should know it, so you know how to explain it, so you know how to respond if you are faced by any misguided person, any ignorant misguided person, who tries to refer to the statement of At-Tahawi to support the belief of Al-Mujassimah, those who liken Allah to the creation. صحيح. اوكي منه الضمير هنا بدا هو كمان. ايه انا غلطت. الضمير هو يرجع على القرآن بمعنى اللفظ المنزل. ظهر. ظهر القرآن منه اي هو اظهر من الله. أي الله أظهره. متعلق الجار والمجرور بظهر ببدا هكذا. وفيك إيه؟ حتى يبين الطحاوي حتى يبين أنه ينفي عن الله الحرف والصوت. صح. حتى يبين أن تنزيل القرآن اللفظ المنزل على سيدنا محمد ليس معناه أن هذا اللفظ هو الكلام الذاتي، إنما منه بدأ بلا كيفية قولا، من غير أن يكون قوله بكيفية، من غير أن يكون قول الله له كيفية، من غير أن يكون كلام الله له كيفية. من غير أن يكون ذلك بصدور حرف وصوت من الله. هذا معنى بلا كيفية قولا. منه من الله يعني. لا لا أنا غلطت غلطت غلطت، ليس الهاء ترجع إلى القرآن، هو يرجع إلى القرآن. ضمير مستتر تقديره هو يرجع إلى القرآن. منه بدا أي من الله بدا. بدا من؟ بدأ إيش؟ هو أي القرآن. فهو ضمير مستتر مع من لفظه لكن بالمعنى موجود، يرجع إلى القرآن. هذا قريب ذاك بعيد، معنى بعيد. No, the Wahhabis do not say that because they believe that the eternal attribute is composed of letters. It is the letters and sounds. صح. I will say it. I will mention it, inshallah. تفضل إذا. صدق المؤمنون الرسول على أن الله أنزل القرآن عليه وحيا. صدق المؤمنون الرسول على أن الله أنزل عليه القرآن وحيا. الهاء ترجع بالمعنى، معنى لفظ المنزل. أنا بدي مشان طيب. Yes, go ahead, sister. They affirm that it is, that is the revealed text, the speech of Allah بالحقيقة. بالحقيقة, this Arabic term, بالحقيقة, that is, as it is mentioned in the religious texts. This is what it means. As it is mentioned in the religious texts. عديلي إذا بتريدي. أيوة, القرآن بأول سطر يرجع إلى الصفة الأزلية بمعنى الصفة الأزلية, وبآخر سطر والباقي بمعنى اللفظ المنزل إلا هنا. أنه لا لفظ المنزل راجع على القرآن بمعنى اللفظ المنزل. We are going to talk about this. هلا نعم. بلا كيفية قولا, يعني من غير أن يكون ذلك إنزاله على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بحرف وصوت من الله. هذا معناها. تفضل. ما عم نفسر, عم نقول. بالحقيقة هنا يعني بالحقيقة الشرعية, يعني كما جاء ذلك في نصوص الشريعة. ليس معناه باللغة. خلونا هلأ من خلينا نحن عم نحكي بمقام الشرع ولا لا؟ يكفي, خلينا عم نحكي بمقام الشرع. صح. قد يكون هذا أو هذا مشترك في الحقيقة الشرعية, في النصوص الشرعية مشترك. تفضل أخي صالح. من الله يعني. لا لا لا, بالأول أنا غلطت, بدل ما أقول عن هو قلت عن الهاء. أنا غلطت بالأول. لك ليش لكن قال بلا كيفية قولا؟ هو أصلا الطحاوي ذكر ذلك لإيضاح الأمر حتى لا يكون لبس. حأعطي لا صحيح كلامك. طيب, so I don't forget if you give me time to say a few things that are important. لا, عندما نقول اللفظ المنزل معناه أن جبريل أخذ, أمره الله أن يأخذ هذا اللفظ من اللوح المحفوظ وينزل به على سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. ليس أن عبارة القرآن عبر بها جبريل من عنده. So when we say the revealed text, This means that Allah ordered Prophet Angel Jibreel to take the verses of Al-Quran from the guarded tablet and to convey them to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It does not mean that Jibreel expressed out of himself these expressions. خلوني أعطي مثال عن الاستخدام مثال آخر بس مثال واحد. Let me give you one example about this issue called الاستخدام in Arabic other than this text, in other than a religious text. اللي موجود بالبغية إذا نزل السماء بأرض قوم رعيناه وإن كانوا غضابا. If you want to translate it, this verse of poetry, it means if the rain falls on the land of a people, of some people, يعني of a tribe, we let our cattle يعني ماشية cattle, double T, okay, this poet is na'am. Na'am. This poet, the poet who said this verse, lived in the era of al-jahiliyyah, so before the revelation of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He was praising his tribe. He said, "Iza nazala as-sama'u bi ardi qawmin ra'aynahu wa in kanu ghidaba." If you want to translate it literally, إِذَا نَزَلَ السَّمَاءُ بِأَرْضِ قَوْمٍ, if the rain falls on the land of a tribe, رَعَيْنَاهُ, we let our cattle eat it, even if they do not give us permission to do that. In the era of Al-Jahiliyyah, they were proud of that. That is, they don't care about, they overcome others. They are stronger than the others. So this is what he was saying. If you check, إِذَا طَلَّعْ إِذَا نَزَلَ السَّمَاءِ, السماء تعني هذا الفضاء الذي فوقنا, تعني إحدى الواحدة من السماوات السبع, تعني المطر, تعني غير ذلك. إيش يقول هنا؟ إِذَا نَزَلَ السَّمَاءُ بِأَرْضِ قَوْمٍ, إيش يريد بالسماء هنا؟ المطر. ثم قال رعيناه, هذه الهاء ترجع إلى السماء, بس هون شو رعيناه؟ إنه رعى المطر, يعني رعى العشب الذي نبت. أيضا يطلق السماء على العشب لأنه سبب في نباته. فهون رجع الضمير الهاء على السماء لكن بمعنى ثان، وهو ايش؟ معنى العشب. هذا مثال عن الاستخدام. So like in this verse of poetry, the term سماء in Arabic means the heaven. It can mean also the space above you. It can mean also the ceiling. It can mean also the rain. It can mean also the grass that comes out because of the rain. All of that can be called سماء in Arabic. So this poet said, إِذَا نَزَلَ السَّمَاءُ بِأَرْضِ قَوْمٍ. If the rain falls on the land of a tribe, رَعَيْنَاهُ. This who here, it means it. It goes back, it refers to السماء, but with another meaning, not with the meaning of the rain, rather with the meaning of the grass that comes out because of the rain. So as you can see, this pronoun is used. It refers to the same noun, but with another meaning, not with the first meaning of that noun. Is it clear? This is an example of this thing called in the Arabic istikhdam. Istikhdam. You mention a word, then with a meaning, a noun with a meaning, then afterwards you mention a pronoun that goes back to this noun, but with a second meaning. A second meaning of this noun. This is called in Arabic al-istikhdam. If there is no other thing that needs to be clarified, let me check. بقي ثلاثة أمور أذكرها. Still there are three things to mention. شو بعمل بهاي دائما؟ ما بعرف. لا ناسي. لأن القرآن يطلق بمعنى ولأن القرآن يطلق بمعنى صفة الله التي لا تشبه صفاتنا، منع أهل السنة من أن يقال القرآن مخلوق، لأن إطلاق هذه العبارة يوهم أن كلام الله الذاتي مخلوق. إذا أطلق اللفظ في مثل هذه العبارة، لفظ القرآن في مثل هذه العبارة، ينصرف إلى الصفة الذاتية. لأجل ذلك سمحوا أن يقال القرآن غير مخلوق، ولم يسمحوا أن يقال القرآن مخلوق، لأنه عند الإطلاق من غير أي قيد ينصرف لفظ القرآن إلى الكلام الذاتي الذي لا يشبه كلامنا. لذلك
سمحوا أن يقال القرآن كلام الله غير مخلوق، ولم يسمحوا أن يقال القرآن مخلوق، فقط هكذا، إلا عند حاجة التعليم مع البيان والتفصيل بأن يقال القرآن إذا أطلق بمعنى اللفظ المنزل لا بمعنى الصفة الذاتية فهو فهذه الألفاظ مخلوقة أو نحو ذلك، في مثل هذه الحال سمحوا. أما أن يقال القرآن مخلوق فقط هكذا فلم يسمحوا، لأن اللفظ، لأن هذا يوهم أن كلام الله الذاتي مخلوق، لأنه إذا أطلق لفظ القرآن من غير أي قيد، من غير أي قرينة، ينصرف إلى كلام الله الذي لا يشبه كلامنا. So three matters we need to say them. One of them we need to say them. One of them is because Al-Quran, when it is used without any restriction, any sign, refers to the eternal attribute of Allah, Ahlul Sunnah prevented from saying Al-Quran makhluq, that is, Al-Quran is created. Although this term Al-Quran might bear the meaning of the revealed text, but because when it is used in this way, in this context, it refers to the eternal attribute of Allah, that's why they did not allow one to say Al-Quran makhluq, Al-Quran is created, just like that. Now, for the need of teaching, it is permissible with a clarification to say that Al-Quran, when it is used to refer to the revealed book, then to the letters and the sounds, these sounds and letters are created in this context, and for the need of teaching, they allow that to be said. But for one just to say Quran is created, they prevented it. They did not prevent from saying Al-Quran غير مخلوق, which means Al-Quran is not created. Because as we said, when Al-Quran is used without any restriction, any sign, it refers to the eternal attribute of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And when it refers to this attribute, you can say it is not created. So Ahlul Sunnah allowed to say Al-Quran غير مخلوق, and they did not allow to say just the statement of Al-Quran مخلوق. Is it clear? Another issue, شيء آخر نريد أن نذكره. أنه مما يدل على أن القرآن يطلق بمعنى اللفظ المنزل آيات وأحاديث. There are several verses of Al-Quran and hadith of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام that stand as a proof that it is valid to use the term Al-Quran in reference to the revealed text. Allah Ta'ala قال إنه لقول رسول كريم, معناه القرآن قول جبريل, فلا بد أن القرآن هنا يرجع إلى اللفظ المنزل لا يرجع إلى صفة الله الذاتية. لا يجوز أن يقال إن صفة الله قول جبريل. One proof for that is in the 40th verse of Surah Al-Haqqah, إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلُ رَسُولٍ كَرِيمٍ, which means Al-Quran is the saying of Angel Jibreel. That is, Jibreel conveyed it to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this context, it is clear that Al-Quran refers to the revealed book, because it is not permissible to say that the eternal attribute of Allah is the saying of Angel Jibreel. So it is clear that Al-Quran here refers to the revealed text. أمر أخير the third thing that I wanted to say أن عبارة الطحاوي المارة قد يتعلق بها المشبه الذي ليس هو على عقيدة أهل السنة. قولوا له إذا تعلق بها لا يصح لك تعلق بعبارة الطحاوي, لأن الطحاوي بين في بداية كلامه في بداية عقيدته أنه يذكر عقيدة أهل السنة والجماعة على حسب أسلوب الأئمة الثلاثة أبي حنيفة ومحمد بن الحسن وأبي يوسف. وأبو حنيفة رضي الله عنه قد صرح تصريحا بأن كلام الله تعالى الذي هو صفته ليس حرفا ولا صوتا, فلا يصح تفسير كلام الطحاوي ولا حمله إلا على ما يوافق كلام أبي حنيفة رضي الله عنه. If anyone comes to you one day trying to misinterpret this part of the creed of al-Tahawi to say that the speech of Allah resembles our speech by sounds and words, you tell him you cannot take the saying of al-Tahawi as a proof for what you claim, because at the beginning of his book al-Tahawi made it clear that he is giving this summary in the area of the creed according to the style of the three Imams, Abu Hanifa, Abu Yusuf, and Muhammad ibn al-Hasan. Abu Hanifa explicitly mentioned that the speech of Allah, which is his eternal attribute, is clear of sounds and letters. So you tell him you cannot misinterpret what al-Tahawi said to contradict what Abu Hanifa radiyallahu anhu said. Rather, you need to explain and interpret what al-Tahawi said in compliance with what Abu Hanifa said, because he himself, al-Tahawi, said that he is following the steps of الإمام أبو حنيفة رضي الله عنه. بارك الله فيكم وحفظكم. نقف هنا والله أعلم. Let us stop here. Allah knows best. إن كان أحد عنده سؤال فليتفضل. If you have questions about what was said. Well, they might claim that. They might. Let me make it more clear. The Wahhabis, it means those who call themselves nowadays Salafis. They do not like Al-Imam Al-Tahawi and they do not like Al-Imam Abu Hanifa. Now, when they found that the creed of lately, يعني not long time ago, well, first, many years ago, they produced a book specifically to dispraise Al-Imam Abu Hanifa. And lately, they produced a new book to do that. Anyway, يعني they dispraised Abu Hanifa, they dispraised Al-Ash'ari, they dispraised Ibn Hajar Al-Asqalani, they dispraised Al-Nawawi, Al-Bayhaqi, Ibn Hibban. This is not strange on their part. It's not strange to see them doing this, because their creed differs from the creed of all of those. It differs from the creed of Ahlul Sunnah. So they are not going to like Ahlul Sunnah or praise them. But because they found that it is widespread, they tried to misinterpret it. A man who lived in Damascus called Nasir al-Din al-Albani, when he found that this creed is widespread, he made an interpretation. He claimed that he is explaining it. And he authored an explanation without putting his name. Because if he put his name, then it would be known. He put a committee of scholars made this explanation with no names on it. And he tried to misinterpret the statements of Al-Tahawi that contradict their creed. He did that for some of them, and at one point he couldn't do that anymore. So he went against Al-Tahawi. Or he said Al-Tahawi is wrong in this statement. This is when Al-Tahawi mentioned that Allah is clear from all directions. He couldn't play with the words there. So he said, the statement of Al-Tahawi is wrong. It is not correct. Anyway, this is what they made and what they did in the past. Nowadays, they are not doing that anymore. It's rare for them to do it. If anyone does it, then this would be the response. Yes, there is an interpretation for the creed of Al-Tahawi written by one of the followers of Ibn Taymiyyah. And this is a dangerous one. This was written a few hundred years ago. This is a dangerous one. So this is why we are... It was printed... And it tricks some people because it says it is authored by Ibn Abi al-Izz al-Hanafi. They say al-Hanafi. So when they say al-Hanafi, one thinks that he was following the school of al-Imam Abu Hanifa. Truly, he was following Ibn Taymiyyah, this person. So be aware of that. Be warned. His name is Ibn Abi al-Izz. And they say Al-Hanafi. It has misguidance in it. This is why the Wahhabis or the so-called Salafis might read in this explanation, which is in reality misinterpretation, misguidance, and try to pervert the sayings of Al-Tahawi. This is why we spent all this time to make it clear. So we understand well, and we would be able to clarify it if anyone comes up claiming something that contradicts the creed of Ahlul Sunnah while trying to take a statement of al-Tahawi as a proof for his misguidance. Allah yubarik fikum wa yahfazukum. Ameen. Barakallahu bikum. Shu ya habib. منعوا أن يقال القرآن مخلوق أن يطلق القول بخلق القرآن نعم في اللغة هكذا لأجل ذلك ينصرف الذهن ينصرف المعنى إذا كان من غير قيد إلى الكلام الذاتي يرجح انصرافه إلى الكلام الذاتي على انصرافه إلى غيره لأجل ذلك منعه It's a meaning other than the original meaning which is known by a certain sign or something else other than just the usage of the word itself. They, in English, they say figurative meaning, for which I think it does not stand as a good or precise translation for the word of majaz. But a figurative meaning is a type of majaz. What do you mean? All of them. This is their belief. Like when you say early scholars, who do you mean? Like if you mean, for example, if you mean al-Shafi'i, we know, both of us, that the book that al-Shafi'i authored on the level of the creed did not reach us. So it did not, so is not there. So if you mean Abu Hanifa, for example, yani you need to, when you say who mentioned that, you need to refer to someone who authored among the early scholars in the issues of the creed. Abu Hanifa mentioned it. Yeah, well, with this term, no, with terms that gives the same the same meaning, not with this with these terms exactly, no, but with terms that give the same meaning. Yeah, I understand. Just you tell them how do you know that it came later? This is strange. This is strange. For example, Al-Maturidi, he authored in the creed, and he took his creed, he learned it from his sheikhs, and his sheikhs learned it from their sheikhs, and so on. So how would, if Al-Maturidi mentioned it explicitly, he did not mention it out of himself. He mentioned it as the creed of his sheikhs, who took it from their sheikhs, etc. So it's as if he said they said it. These people are like Subhanallah. Tfaddali. Istikhdam. Yes, although the term grass itself is not used at all before that, so for the pronoun to be referring to it. What is used before that is the term sama, that can bear the meaning of grass also. Wafiki. إلى القرآن. إلى القرآن. عائد إلى القرآن. بمعنى اللفظ المنزل. بمعنى ثان غير المعنى الأول الذي هو الصفة الأزلية. الفقه الأكبر. One of the books in which Abu Hanifa mentioned this issue is the book of Al-Fiqh Al-Akbar. On the statement of Al-Tahawi, yeah. This is how in the Arabic language you use the pronoun to go back to the apparent noun in any of its meanings. So you can go back to it with the first meaning or with another meaning. Okay? تفضل يا حي. يعني إنه لق إن القرآن إنه الهاء ترجع إلى القرآن لقول رسول كريم أي لقول جبريل. فلو كان هذا يدل على أن القرآن يطلق بمعنى اللفظ المنزل لأنه لو كان لا يطلق إلا بمعنى صفة الله لكان معنى الآية إن صفة الله قول جبريل وهذا لا يستقيم. تفضل عبد الرحمن. Yes. I can't hear you, عبد الرحمن. Sorry. Usually it goes back to the closest noun, except if there is a sign that shows that it goes back to something else. Yeah. Usually this is how it is. Yes. لكن لا قبل التمييز ولا قبل البلوغ، يعني ولا بعد التمييز قبل البلوغ، يعني المراد حتى قبل التمييز لا يجب عليه، لأنه بعد التمييز يكون على الإيمان، اعتقد بقلبه الإيمان، قبل التمييز لا تجب عليه. نفس الشيء، يعني إذا حكم عليه، إذا كان يحكم عليه بأن، بدنا نفوت بتفصيل ما هنفوت فيها هلا، أي متى الولد يحكم له بالإسلام وأي متى يحكم له بالكفر على حسب حال أبويه، تفصيل نرجع إليه إن شاء الله. إيه خالد. That refers to the eternal kalam of Allah. Yeah. When you say Al-Quran just like that, it refers to the eternal kalam of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. No, sometimes, but that when it, yani, no, wait. You can't say just by itself. Yani, just by itself. when you use it, when it is used in a statement, then it means it goes. It means the eternal speech of Allah. Except if there is a sign of something that that makes it refer to something else. Okay. What is this? You are referring to what? Yeah, because this is how it's used nowadays, as you hear that, as you heard that. But for the Arabs at the time, this is what how it was. And this is why they didn't, the scholars didn't accept to say that. And this remains the rule up till nowadays. Hey, Khalid. But when you speak in English, you are not speaking the Arabic language. So if you say the book of Quran, this is clear that you are referring to the revealed text. Because this is what it means in the language. Originally in the language, this is what it means. And of course in the dictionary and other than the dictionaries, yes. الفقه الأكبر. Come on, you can, there are certain questions you can ask me later, so be merciful on me. I'm staying and saying, if you have questions, because I want you to ask in what refers to what we were talking about, if you have any questions. I don't want to leave the session before everything is clear. If you have other questions, so Allah yubarik fikum, delay them to another session. Tfaddali. Ayah, tfaddali, Mawlid. وأن القرآن كلام الله من الله بدا أي القرآن بلا كيفية قولا وأنزله أي أنزل الله القرآن على رسوله أي على رسول الله وحيا وصدقه المؤمنون أي صدق المؤمنون الرسول على ذلك على أن القرآن منزل من عند الله حقا وأيقنوا أنه كلام الله تعالى وأيقنوا أنه أي الكتاب المنزل كلام الله تعالى بالحقيقة ليس بمخلوق ليس القرآن يعني مخلوقا ككلام البرية ككلام البشر فمن سمع اللفظ المنزل فزعم أنه كلام البشر أنه من تأليف البشر فقد كفر وقد ذمه الله وعابه وأوعده بسقر حيث قال تعالى سأصليه سقر فلما أوعد الله بسقر من قال إن هذا إلا قول البشر علمنا وأيقنا أنه أي أن القرآن قول خالق البشر ولا يشبه أي القرآن قول البشر وفيك طيب نهلل لا إله إلا الله
صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه.